Hey folks, welcome back to another episode of the Brand Builder Show, where we talk about how you can build e-commerce brands in the current e-commerce climate. And today is going to be an interesting episode. We're going to be talking about SEO, search engine optimization for e-commerce. And to talk about this huge topic, and one I love talking about, we've got Lewis Smith on the show today. Thanks for coming on, Lewis.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Big fan of the show and looking to sort of dig into SEO and e-commerce landscape and trying to give as much value as possible.
Yeah, it's going to be really good. It's a topic that is a very, very powerful one if done right. And so I'm sure it's going to be super helpful for people, and no matter what stage they're at, you know, whether beginner or more advanced with e-commerce, I find that SEO is one of the real undervalued strategies in mainstream e-commerce. You know, there's a lot of talk about paid media. There's a lot of talk about influencer marketing, but e-commerce just kind of flies SEO just kind of flies under the radar. So it'd be interesting to bring some truth. Actually, I was just looking for, we were just moving over to Evernote for all of our like knowledge management and SOPs and all that kind of stuff. Sorry, moving over to Notion from Evernote. And I was looking at all of my old notes in Evernote and trying to move everything over. And I saw like I had saved a note about SEO a couple of years ago, thinking, man, I need to focus more on this, and just kind of like didn't do anything with it. And I realized now, having learned more about the topic, how much I didn't know back then and how easy it is for especially e-commerce operatives to just sideline it and think, well, it's something that, will just happen naturally. But there's obviously so many proactive things that you can do, which we'll get into today, which I'm looking forward to doing. Before we do get into it, we'd love to hear obviously a bit of your backstory. Let us know your journey in the world of business and entrepreneurship up until now, and then we can dive into things.
Awesome. Yeah, so starting back, it was I worked in a gym, and I was a big fan. I always wanted to do my own thing, grow my own project, or just take life on my own chin, step out of my comfort zone and just try something. And I went to university doing computing, web development. So the plan was to be a web developer. Started making WordPress websites from scratch. Made an app at uni, a travel app. I remember planning to sell that app. I thought I'd become a millionaire overnight. that was the quick plan. I got a couple experience at agency, making websites, etc., working on some apps. And I was working on blogs, writing blogs, etc., my own sort of projects. And then I was writing blogs, and I was like, why are these not ranking? They're better than what's at the, on page one of Google. And then that's when I fell in love with SEO. I was, just obsessed with it. I was reading, testing, writing, and just becoming more and more obsessed with it. Started getting better and better. Got into agency again because I went traveling, and then come back. And, I hated sort of the rigid approach of what I was doing with agency. And I was doing a lot on the side by then. I built a couple of local clients, phone shops, etc. I was reaching out to businesses on page two of Google. I could clearly see, I could get them on page one just by content alone, local phone shops. Did that, told the missus that I want to do my own thing. She panicked. no, staying 9 to 5, it's safe. I was like, no, I can do this. If I have to go knock on every business in Bolton, Manchester, I'll do it. I do believe in myself. And yeah, jumped into it, got onto Upwork, started just trying to build on there. And quickly sort of hit the top tiers on there, worked with some really big brands, Fortune 500 companies, etc. My skills just kept growing and growing, kept investing day and night into bettering my marketing skills, especially in SEO. And then, found LinkedIn, started building my personal brand on there as well. And it's just scaled from there. From there I've worked with small to Fortune 500 companies now, built my processes around e-commerce SEO. And yeah, just keep working with great brands, trying to stay ahead of the game. Obviously, AI has impacted the niche now, the market, and just keep trying to stay ahead and bettering my skills, and obviously, working with helping brands. And that's sort of a 1,000-foot view of the journey.
That's good, man. Yeah, and we'll definitely touch on AI because it's impossible not to at the moment, but particularly for SEO, it's impacting things in a big way. I tweeted yesterday or the day before, the CEO of Ridge Wallets was talking about how physical product brand is one of the great not like a hedge. That was sort of what I was saying. It's like a hedge against AI almost, because AI can't replace physical products. There's some industries where it can't really replace it, but obviously SEO is an industry that can be massively disrupted by AI. So yeah, it would be good to talk about that a little bit in the episode. Love to take you through our lightning round as well. Favorite five, ask you your five sort of favorite things in these topics, just to get to know you a little bit more and inspire our audience with some new things to research and be inspired by. Do you have a favorite e-commerce brand?
Favorite, love Nike, but I just love Nike as a brand. But my favorite, I'd probably say, as an e-commerce SEO strategy, is probably IKEA. Their strategy is fire. Look at the intent pages, category page, product page, etc. They're doing big things. So yeah, if you're interested in e-commerce SEO as a baseline template, go and look at IKEA.
We'll come back to that for sure. Cool. All right. And then what about a software or tool that helps you run your business?
Tool, I'm gonna have to say my phone. Can I say that?
That's fine. Do you find yourself
Yeah,
working
my
off your phone
phone.
a
I
lot then?
just obsessed with learning. So like, if I'm not, if I'm not on the laptop, I'll be on my phone. I've Audible, Kindle. My Google Sheets plugged into that. So yeah, I'm just constantly, learning and then putting down notes, putting down plans. So yeah,
Nice.
if I was stuck on a desert island, I'd want my phone and laptop.
That's good. That's good. I think I know what you'll say to this one, but organic marketing channel.
SEO, gotta be
Has to
to
be. Otherwise, we can't
the
really do this episode, can we? Yeah.
grave.
No, that's good. What about paid marketing channel? Have you done much paid over the years?
Yeah, when I just started out, paid marketing, I think Instagram for me, I still see brands doing big things on Instagram. Obviously, Facebook is tough now, but Instagram, and we all know TikTok is blowing up now. But yeah, Instagram for me at the moment.
And then finally, do you have a favorite business book?
Ooh, Blue Ocean Strategy. Love that book, and Hustle Harder as well for Descent. But yeah, Blue Ocean Strategy, I think there's absolute gold in there, and every brand can take some nuggets from that book.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I co-sign that. It's a very good book. Good stuff. Okay, let's talk about some SEO stuff then, because I think this will be really helpful for a lot of our audience. Firstly, what makes SEO such a powerful channel? I've talked about how great it is. You obviously invest a lot of time in it, but what is it about it that makes it so good or so important even?
Yeah, so SEO is it's the channel that's converts the best. Organic marketing is it is the channel, and brands that do SEO right are the ones that get insane business growth. If you can nail your SEO strategy, it's going to bring big returns to your business. You see, e-commerce brands, I did a YouTube video the other week where some e-commerce brands don't even really do SEO and they'll rank well. And if they just invested that small, not small, but if they invested into SEO, it can have big impact on their business. It's taking a business that will struggle with product sales, making them into a sustainable business to, hire people to grow their asset and just keep growing that business. SEO is any brand that wants to grow needs to do it in my eyes. It's the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah, definitely. And if you were to, like, if a beginner or even someone that's not a beginner in e-commerce, but maybe just hasn't really given much time to SEO, but wanted to really adopt an SEO strategy, if you could summarize it in, two or three sentences, if this is the only bit of the episode that someone listens to and can take that away and get started with some form of SEO strategy, what would be, like the 80-20 of an e-commerce SEO strategy? And then obviously we can pick that apart, but just top line view, what would that be? What would be a sort of a good strategy?
For three key areas to work on for 80/20. I would say product lines and your product coverage. So brands, the thing with product coverage is you can rank, you know, well without doing SEO. By that, I mean, if I'll give an example. So a car detailing website, okay, we have two websites. One is just a couple of products, and and the ones with a couple of products build some links. The one builds no links, but has, you know, shampoos, the sponges, interior wipes, everything, okay, that brand will do better in search because it has a good product coverage. So that's number one. The 80/20 is find what's working with your Google Search Console data, look at what's ranking with your website, and then double down on that. What many brands don't understand, because they don't understand SEO, is, you know, you run your website through a tool and it will say, you know, you have two H2s on a page that's not had an impression over the last 10 years, go and fix that. That is not a priority. What is a priority is this segment of the website, this 20% that's getting revenue, getting traffic, them sub pages, them layers related to that, that's not getting traffic, just missing that there's something missing, whether it's the product coverage, the internal linking, the quality of the content. Find them pages and build what's working around that. That's super important. And then collections and products. So building out, so topical authority is done with content, but you can do topical authority with your collection pages. It relates to that first point. So if you sell, for example, men's clothing, with your collection page strategy, you know, t-shirts, jeans, hoodies, and build that topical cluster there, and then the product, the quality of the product page. I'm gonna say, if you listen to this, Google attributes on your product page. That's gonna be key as well.
Okay, let's try and break a bit of that down then. You talked about topical authority. Can you just explain for anybody that's new to SEO what that means?
So topical authority is imagine if you purchased a book on, say, travel in New York. You'd want that book to contain everything you need to know about New York. If there was pages missing, like, you know, tips on where to stay, tips on hotels, tips on things to do, it wouldn't be a very, you know, good travel book. However, the book that contains all that information, that's what customers are going to love, that's what people want to read, and that's the same with your website. You know, you want to cover a topic as much in depth as possible, and that's how, you know, Google will crawl your site, understand them pages, and then understand, you know, you are an expert in that niche. That is an analogy of topical authority, but obviously there's a lot of moving variables that can go wrong with that, like, you know, how you put them pages together, but all in all, it's just trying to cover a topic and trying to give as much value as possible around that topic.
Yeah, no, it's a great analogy with the book, actually. It's a really good one. Is obviously with an informational website, to get topical authority, it could be seen as being easy because you just, you know, create content around, you know, informational topics. But if your example, for instance, men's clothing, hoodies, how does someone become the topical authority on hoodies? Like what kind of content is there to create around that? What content strategy should a brand have when maybe there's not a lot of informational based topics around their products, if that makes sense?
Yeah, definitely. So with e-commerce, with every website, Google's released documentation last year, you know, saying they want quality content. They released that big update last month because of all this AI content. So what we need to do now is to create. When I first come on, I mentioned about, you know, a website not doing SEO but ranking well. So if you create a website and you sell all them product lines, say for example men's clothing, and you sell the hats, the hoodies, the t-shirts, and the more variations and related products you have, the higher the quality of your website. You're a niche relevant website. It's not Amazon, where Amazon will sell, you know, men's clothing, etc. So you can really dominate that niche by just making sure that you're covering everything related to men's clothing. If you offer that, you're in a perfect place for an SEO strategy. Links are going to carry you then. And then in terms of content around that, you know, I'd be looking at middle of the funnel content, like, and top of the funnel. People will be asking questions around jeans, you know, what jeans to wear on a first date, etc. And you can start to pick off traffic then to you know, get engagement to your website, and that'll help.
Yeah. So at the core, the focus is good product catalogue with category pages and then supporting blog content that's going to point to all of those things.
Yeah, definitely. And the quality of product page as well, you know, it's, if five brands start today, you know, with similar men's clothing, for example, and we all just get the same Shopify theme with the baseline product page, you know, it's not really putting that extra mile in for the customer. However, if we invest into UX to improve that product page, improve that category page, there's a lot, you know, we'll get ahead of what the other brands are doing.
Yeah, let's come on to that. I was going to ask that a bit later on, but let's talk about that now, because a lot of our listeners will potentially be using Shopify. It's obviously a common option, but it does have some SEO drawbacks. Obviously, site speed and being able to control that is one, and then the customization of the product page. It's obviously got a lot better with Shopify 2.0, but I suppose firstly, starting with site speed is a big SEO factor. What do you do when working with clients that are on Shopify and there's less out of the box controls? What are some things that you can do to, you know, really make sure that site speed is good on Shopify?
Yeah, so there's some great themes out there to start with, you know, that will help with that, reducing code bloat. So I'll be looking at that. There's certain plugins that can help, like Avado. You know, that's a big favorite of mine. You know, it put that plugin in, do all the settings on there, and you can, you know, you'll improve your core web vitals for Google with that. And then looking at page as well, what you'll find is if the client goes in and starts to make changes to pages and just, you know, building pages, you might find that there's CSS shoved into the page, JavaScript, which will have an impact on that page load. So I'll be looking at that as well, just running a crawl on the site, see which pages are slow. If it's a page that's getting traffic, you know, I'll be looking at improving that page speed. Look at the pages that are, you know, important to you as a business. If you find there's your top 20 revenue earner pages, I'll be looking to improve speed on them pages. If it's reducing images, etc., I'll be, you know, looking at that. What a lot of brands do is just upload images straight away. You know, they'll take a high quality image of the product, which is awesome, but then upload that straight away, and you know, it could be a 5 megabyte image that's seriously slowing down the page. If you've got six of them and they're not lazy loading, you've got an issue then with your page load. In terms of speed, I always say, you know, it's not the biggest ranking factor. What it is a website wants to sell products. If that page is loading slow, you're going to lose that customer. So just make sure, do it from a conversion point of view. Think of the customer.
Yeah. And the product page you mentioned about, you know, making sure you've got good product pages. Obviously, that's a massive factor for conversion rate optimization. But what are some things that should be looked at for SEO purposes for that product page? Are you trying to get product pages ranked, or are you trying more to get category pages ranked? What's your strategy there?
Both. So products super important for ranking. They're your last sort of port of call before the sale's made, so you know, it's important to make sure that the product page is optimized. So any questions that need answering on that page, that's going to be the last, you know, in the customer's mind, making sure that's on the page. Anything to do with shipping and returns, you know, that's got to be on the page. Any related attributes around the product, that's got to be on the page as well. Imagery, video, reviews, and then related content that, if the customer might just need some content to prove that, you know, they want to buy it, that's when I'd be looking at related content at the bottom as well. But customer reviews, if you can get them individual reviews for products, it's going to keep refreshing every time someone, you know, loads up a review, and it's going to help convert that customer as well. start to put all them different pieces into the page, and then you've got a really good product page then.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. And then overall site structure, you mentioned IKEA as a good example. Can you talk us through, obviously IKEA are a massive brand with probably hundreds of category pages, I would imagine. But can you talk us through the principles of a good site structure that's going to be helpful for SEO purposes?
Yeah, so I like a flat site structure. And trying to, this is the problem with big e-commerce sites where, you know, pages will get buried. They'll get buried. And what happens then is they're not being crawled, so they'll have minimal internal links and probably have zero external links, which means Google is not crawling that page. So what we need to do is just make sure from a site architecture, I'll give an example. So electric cars, I've given this example before, is if you Google in the UK electric cars, you'll see Auto Trader at the top. Now, what they're doing is once you land on that page from the SERP, they'll have different intent segments, I like to call it. So if 1,000 customers land on that page, they'll have, you know, sections for each, you know, say 100 people want to read guides on electric cars because they have no idea about them. Mm-hmm. Like if it was me, I don't know which electric car I want. I don't know anything, you know, how many mileage they do, etc. So I'd want to know that first. And what they do is cover that. And then they'll have a segment for the different models of cars. And then they'll have a segment for the actual cars, the best sellers for people that are ready to buy. And that's what you want to be looking at, because Google's passage ranking algorithm understands them different sections. So, you know, a brand might sell, I'll give the example, men's clothing again, and think they can just create a collection page and put products in that. But a brand, you know, the next brand will say, right, actually, if we get 1,000 customers to this page, are they all want to go and visit that black hoodie? Probably not. So what we'll do is we'll create thumbnail images for hoodies, you know, for t-shirts, for jeans, shoes, etc. We'll put guides on styling for men, for, you know, whether it's going away, whether it's for weddings, whether it's for parties. And then we've got a page then where, you know, the different customer has different options. Google understands that, and it's a very valuable page. And you're spreading your page rank if you're getting external links to that page to them different segments of your site. And that's what's super important. If you look at IKEA, they do that very well. If you search sofa in the UK, for example, they'll rank near the top, and they have, you know, everything on that page for about sofas. If, you know, if you need tips, if you're ready to buy, if you just need a bit more information on styling, or you want to see the different styles of sofa, every different intent a customer would have is directly on that page.
And so that would be like on the category page adding stuff, or you're saying create a landing page for that kind of thing?
It's almost a landing page style category page. So it's taking that category page to the next level now, that UX. And that's where e-commerce is going now, where customers are better in understanding an intent and not hoping. They're not hoping that everyone's on the exact same journey that comes to that page.
Mm. And how much of this stuff that you're talking about can be done out of the box with something like Shopify, and how much needs developers and coding and stuff?
It's difficult when, you know, if you're just starting on your own. You know, there's ideally you need a developer, but, you know, Shopify has released a feature where, you know, you can build pages. So I've been looking at that as well, building out them custom pages. If you have time to learn that, if you have a team, I'd be definitely putting that in the process to understand what the main reason for it is to hit them different intents. The more different intents you can hit on the page, the better it will do for ranking.
And so you would favour that approach as opposed to, because I've seen websites that would have categories almost like, so we sell like toys, kids toys, and I've seen websites that are like toys for 3-year-olds, toys for 4-year-olds, toys for 5-year-olds, and these are all separate category pages, but they have like almost the same products on them, but they're just trying to target that keyword with the category page. Is that like an outdated tactic, or how does that work?
No, so that still works a lot in niches. If you look at Canva, for example, they just sell business cards. So they do the design for business cards. Now, ideally, you'd think that'd just been one page, business card design. But what they've done is built hundreds of landing pages around it, business cards for gardeners, business card for bricklayers, business card for hairdressers, when really it's just one product. So what you're doing is targeting that search with a category page. For me, if I do it with a brand, I always say, let's not just do it, let's try and build out a topic around it. So if we're doing toys for 3-year-olds, then on that page, we may have FAQs around, toys for 3-year-olds that's directly related for what that customer wants to see. And then also guides, writing guides around that, articles, and build a topical authority around it. This is that 80-20 where, if it's a £7 click, keyword topic, and we can see where there's 200,000 searches a month. That's when it become a bit of a priority then to say, right, we can really, really drive revenue with this page.
Yeah, definitely. You've mentioned link building a few times. A site will have some links to it, another site won't. Is link building something that still moves the needle for SEO?
100%, definitely. They always said, link building is dying, but I think definitely with AI now, Google's still heavily reliant on good links, and good links from seed sites. A seed site being, I'll give an example of travel, like Lonely Planet. Google's relying on that as a sole topic of information, basically a book of information for Lonely Planet. If you can get a link from that, it shows you're a credible website. And that's what you need to be looking at in niches, for them credible links that Google is going to, crawl and trust. But yeah, links are still needed in any tough niche, difficult niche. There'll always be links to the top 10 ranking pages. So yeah, still important, still needed.
Obviously, there's a little bit of I don't want to say controversy around building links, link building, and obviously the tactics around that. But what should e-com brand owners be doing in terms of active link building, passive link building? Is it something they should be engaging with, and given the potential risks involved?
Google's guidelines don't build links, but everyone knows we need links to rank. What any e-commerce brand needs to do is, do what a brand would do. If you're starting out, you build all your business citations, you get all your social media profiles, and you start creating engagement through them. You'd reach out and try and do collaborations. If you're in the clothing niche, you speak to clothing bloggers and you say, try my products, etc. And trying to build links like that on niche relevant sites that's related to your niche, that's going to help your audience. Influencer marketing, if you can get influencers on their websites to, try your product, build links that way as well. PR is big. PR is going to get them good links, them credible links from big sites. That's going to help, build your brand authority. So yeah, I wouldn't do a one-way approach. I'd look at all the different avenues and start to grow. Every link is a digital asset, and start to grow them assets. There's many ways you can build links. I'd just, it's sitting down with a book and saying, right, we need links. Here's our plan. Of course, every website is different in their niche. So it's looking at, niche relevancy. If it's gardening products, you'd be looking at a different product, a different way of doing it than, say, a clothing brand.
Definitely. Yeah, good. Okay, that's helpful. And then finally, just on technical SEO, any advice? Obviously, we don't need to get too deep in the weeds for this episode, but do you have anything, some fundamentals that if they're not happening should happen for e-commerce brand owners, like submitting sitemaps and that kind of thing? Is that something that's happening automatically with Shopify, or are any things that brand owners really need to be aware of?
Yeah, I'd say with Shopify, If you go to your collection page and hover over a product, if you see collection in the URL in the bottom left corner of your screen, you've got a bit of an issue then that I hate in Shopify websites. So what that's doing is creating, if you have, for example, 100,000 products, you have all these canonical URLs that are canonical back to the raw product. So that what that's doing is just doubling the amount of URLs that Google is crawling for no reason. So, you know, get that fixed. I keep noticing as well, if you go in your Google Search Console and you go to pages and you just look at, you know, pages being crawled by Google, there's an issue with like these plugins coming in for Shopify where these apps like WebFX or something being crawled. So just keep an eye on that. With your sitemap, Shopify is generally good. It's generally good at just populating your sitemap. If you have any, what I do find is, you know, some brands will create custom landing pages for PPC, which are almost like duplicates of, you know, I've had it where they've not told me and then they've popped up a duplicate of a high traffic page and then done it again for another PPC campaign. And then we've got three pages then exactly the same. So Google's like, you know, which one do they want ranking? So just make sure to no index, you know, any pages that you're using for certain campaigns, which will help. But yeah, other than that, it's just, you know, keeping on top of your canonicals. Don't, you know, brands that don't understand SEO will have products and they'll delete them and then start to create these redirect chains that build up. You know, you need to keep that clean. At the end of the day, you're keeping your Google index clean. The cleaner you can keep Google index, the easier it crawls your site and the more valuable it's going to be.
Yeah.
Index blow is a big issue with e-commerce brands, especially as they start to scale. So it's just, you know, if you're lower in your journey, sort of newer in the journey, just make sure to keep an eye on that. It can help you massively down the line.
Yeah. Do you come across problems with the URL structure of a Shopify? I know we've talked about Shopify a lot, but just a lot of people will be on it. And one of the criticisms that I know about Shopify is the lack of control over the URL structure. Do you find challenges with that?
The two main challenges are is the canonicals. What many brands will leave, I said, just fix that. You know, you can get a developer to put some code in, some custom code, just to remove the canonical. And then also, don't, I get a lot of messages asking me about this. So because you build your topical silo within, you know, your collection pages, they sometimes believe it's not possible because you can't have the URL, you know, if it's men's clothing / t-shirts / you know, running t-shirts, for example, because you can't have that in Shopify, really, it's not a massive issue. Remember, your internal linking structure is how you will show the crawl bots how that's put together, i.e. virtual silo. So don't get hooked on because the URL's not the exact same. You know, with a lot of Shopify brands, and it's never been an issue ranking pages because of that.
Yeah. Oh, good. Okay, Doke. And then just to round up then, future predictions and AI is something, you know, we briefly chatted about before we hit record. It's something that is obviously having a major influence on the industry. What is your broad take on it all?
At first, I was like, oh, here we go. No, I think it's awesome, and I think it's here to help. The brands that still sort of don't adopt it yet are the ones who will almost get lost in the race. I brought it in to help my processes, and by that I don't mean, you know, articles, etc. You know, stay away from that. But there's so many great things you can do with it. It goes a lot farther than the SEO industry. And like I said, you know, you can create, I've used it to create like calculators, generators, used it for, you know, CTR ideas, meta description ideas. There's just so much you can do with it. And I think, you know, the brands that are adopting it like now today are the ones that are excelling quicker because they're getting that help. The CTO of Huel Drink the other day, I seen, you know, he put a post on LinkedIn, openly saying, you know, it's helping our team scale with like development, etc. project management. So yeah, Matt, you know, if you've not adopted it into your processes yet, you will 100% be able to find a way to use it. Just keep, you know, start with it, start nurturing it, look at those mundane tasks that you do on a daily, and, you know, bring that in to help, and, you know, you can do incredible things with it. I just, yeah, it's frightening to think where it'll be in 3 years. You know, we'll probably have a robot making our coffees.
yeah, that'd be good, to be fair. Yeah, it's gonna be fascinating, isn't it? Very, very interesting times ahead, especially like we said in SEO as an industry, that it's gonna, you know, massively shake up for good or for bad. So I think for good on the most part. But
yeah, it's you know, I think where brands are going wrong is it's because it's easy to create an article. You know, you can go in and say, right, create me an article on this. This is where I think brands, everyone's in that mind process of that's all it is. It's like you'll just come in and create, you know, an article in seconds, put that on your website, but it's just, that's not what it's good for, in my eyes. Get creative with it, and use it for other things that can help with so many different processes. That's where it'll be. So yeah, don't just create articles and put them on your website. Stay away from that. Just use it for all the other benefits.
Yeah, definitely. Good stuff, man. This has been super, super helpful. Is there anything that maybe I haven't asked that you think that would be good to share, or any kind of leaving thoughts for everyone?
I think with SEO, there's so many awesome tools out there now that you can use. You know, if you're a bigger site, you know, there's tools like JetOctopus where you can just go and crawl your site. You know, start to put them data sets together, instead of trying to work it out manually, and start to get an understanding of your site. You know, we see every e-commerce site, you know, it might have great UX on the front end, but it might be a tangled mess underneath. And, you know, just understanding what's going on underneath the hood can, you know, create such a big impact for your revenue and traffic. Just start to fix that. 80-20 principle is definitely key. It's, you know, you'll find 20% of a website will bring in, you know, 80% of the revenue. So if you can start to build on top of that and optimize around that, look at your Google Search Console data, connect that with Google Sheets. There's a lot of great apps now to start to understand that data. You know, just take that Google Search Console data. There's some great apps out there, analytics for Sheets, and start to, you know, find all the queries around your certain pages, that you can build out into new landing pages, that can help you massively.
That's good, man. That's good. Yeah, one final question I did think of, that I forgot to ask earlier. You mentioned about good themes, Shopify themes for SEO. What should you be looking for in a good theme that's going to help with SEO?
Speed. Obviously, you know, the quicker you have off the cuff, it's going to be easier, you know, than just going in and trying to make a heavy theme quicker. Integrations as well. You know, certain brands need APIs coming in, so I'll be looking at that as well. So yeah, there's a lot of great themes out there. Just look for flexibility. You don't want a rigid theme. Like I said, the more control you have over it, the better you can do. You know, you can change things with UX, layout, etc. There's a lot of, you know, Shopify is growing very quick. I'm a big, you know, big believer for what they're doing. So, you know, people are investing into making great themes, and they're only getting better. So, you know, do a quick Google search of fastest themes, and some great listicles of themes. Yeah, just make sure it looks quick. Do your research. There's a lot of, you know, YouTube videos, guides out there that help. You know, I've started posting more and more tips on my website. You know, I send out an email every week, but, you know, there's so much information on the web. Just make sure you're getting a fast theme, flexibility, etc.
Yeah, that's good, man. Good. And great segue, by the way, into where people can find out more about you. The website, give us the details on the website. Obviously we'll leave a link in the show notes, etc., but where can people find you?
Awesome. Yeah, Lewis Smith, Louis Smith, .co.uk. so really trying to push more content into my site now to help, and also LinkedIn. I try to post every day of the week, hundreds of posts over the year, so Yeah, I try to give it as much value as possible around, you know, my findings and my testing. So yeah, hit me up on LinkedIn on my site.
Definitely. That's awesome, man. Well, like I said, really appreciate you taking the time out to come on and share this stuff. It's been super helpful. I'm sure it'll be very helpful for all of our listeners. So yeah, thank you so much for your time.
Awesome. Thanks for having me on, Ben.
Pleasure. Pleasure. Amazing. Well, I'm sure you got as much value out of this episode as me, folks. Be sure to check out Lewis's website, all of the content there. Invest in SEO as a long-term strategy because it does keep compounding and is going to keep rewarding you over time. So it takes a bit of time to set up. It's a bit of work, but it will be worth it in the long run. So make sure you get started on it ASAP. And thanks for listening today. And we'll see you in the next episode, same time next week. Take care.